If you'd like to take your Bibles, please, and turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And I hope everyone has one of these bulletins handy so they can be following along on other verses that we'll be using this morning. There's some blanks there to fill in if you'd like to do that as we move through the message today. 2 Peter chapter 3. Have the inner fold of your bulletin ready. Let's ask God's help as we come to His Word. Dear Heavenly Father, we want to thank You today that we can come to You. And we want to pray for some different things as we come to Your Word today. I want to pray for dear Helen Bradford. And I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You would sustain her in the loss of her mum over this last 24 hours. So we pray, dear Heavenly Father, that You would help her to be all that she should be in regard to the family. And we know that Helen has prayed for her family. And we pray, dear Lord, that even while it doesn't seem possible, You would touch hearts and draw some to Yourself. We just pray for this time, pray that You would comfort her and help her to look to You and to trust You. Now, Lord, as we come to Your Word, we realize that we have to be ready too. Any day You may call us home. Any day You may come again. And we want to be ready. So I pray, dear Heavenly Father, that as we look at Your Word today, You would speak the words of life to us, that we might be ready. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. We've been doing a series in 2 Peter called Overcoming Error. And the title of this morning's message is Prepare for the Day. Part 2. Do you get emails from Living Waters? The Living Water email said, Katy Perry recently revealed her battle with depression during a 96-hour live stream. Now, my first question was, who's Katy Perry? I didn't know about her, so I thought, I'll look this up. I found that Catherine Elizabeth Hudson, with the stage name of Katy Perry, is 33 years old. I found out that she is a US songwriter and singer. After singing in church in her childhood, she pursued a career in gospel music, but that failed, and so she turned to the world. She was signed up by Capitol Records 10 years ago, and just about everyone who knows of her would be because of this last 10 years. She holds many awards, including 4 Guinness Book World of Records. In 2015, just the 1 year, she earned $135 million. But she is depressed. With everything at her feet, she is low. Does she not have any purpose and hope? The Living Water email went on to say 800,000 people take their lives each year. That's 3,000 a day. That's one person takes their life every 40 seconds. By the time we've finished the message this morning, another 50 people will have taken their lives worldwide. How do we get purpose and hope? Well, for a start, you do not get purpose and hope by turning away from the Lord as Katy Perry did. Though she grew up in a pastor's home, her biography indicates that she was never saved. Getting saved, knowing Christ, at least starts you on a pathway of purpose and hope. Now, the circumstances of life may come in on us as Christians and discourage us, and we may lose our purpose and hope. But one of the great blessings of prophecy is to give us hope, as we saw last time. Having warned against false prophets, Peter turns to the prophets of the Lord and he reminds us of what they have said. His point is this: the prophecy of the scripture ought to impact our lives. We ought to be changed people because of what God says through his prophets. We may well ask ourselves, have we let the truth of prophecy soak deep into our souls so that it does change us? There are two polar extremes when it comes to our response to prophecy, and both these extremes are wrong. Number one, some Christians react to prophecy with fascination. They want to know every detail. They want to know how all the details fit together. They seek to answer questions like, who is the beast? Are people saved in the millennium? And when will Christ return? They seek to set dates. But folks, those kind of things are speculation. I understand this fascination, but it is a distraction if our interest in prophecy becomes a hobby in such a way that it doesn't change our lives for the better. As we saw last time, there should be godliness, there should be watchfulness, and there should be hopefulness in response to what the Lord reveals in regard to the future. The second response, which is absolutely in the other direction, is other Christians react to prophecy with apathy. Who cares? I'm a pan-millennialist, someone might say. Everything will pan out in the end. This is a dangerous position. These Christians forget that two-thirds of our Bible is prophecy. You're going to have to neglect a lot of your Bible if you are going to be indifferent to prophecy. Also, a lot of purpose and hope is lost if you skip over prophecy, because that's why it's put there in the first place. Life change is why the Lord bothers to tell us what is going to happen in the future. We do not want to be like the mockers here in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 4, who say, where is the promise of his coming? How do we get purpose and hope? Well, there's many things as Christians, but one way that we get purpose and hope is through prophecy. If you're a Christian, you have a great future. Jesus Christ is in heaven preparing a place for you. He's going to come back. He's going to rapture you off this earth as he returns, if you're alive at his return. You're going to be with him. Therefore, you won't go through that terrible time on earth that the Bible calls the tribulation. You'll be saved out of that. You'll return with Christ. You'll share in his victory as he returns to earth. You'll reign with him throughout that 1,000-year reign of Christ the Bible refers to as the millennium. And finally, when this old world is burned up, as Peter indicates here in 2 Peter chapter 3, and God creates a new heaven and a new earth, you're going to enjoy that new heavens and new earth with him. Revelation 21 and verse 4 on your sheet says, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. That ought to give you hope. And if you have hope in this life, then you are going to have a better life as you seek to serve the Lord Jesus. Peter lists six responses that every Christian should have in regard to what's revealed about the future. And the last time we looked at the first three, today we're going to look at the last three. So the fourth response is the coming day of the Lord. The fourth response is peacefulness. Peacefulness. So let's get this in context. We are not like the scoffers who deny the flood in the past and deny the return of Christ in the future. We are aware and we prepare. Chapter 3 and verse 3 says, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts and saying, where is the promise of his coming? We realize, we know that 2,000 years is a long time to wait for our Lord Jesus to return, but we understand that he is gracious, not willing that any should perish, as verse 8 says. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Prophecy is going to happen on time, in God's time. It will not be late. The day of the Lord will come suddenly and unexpectedly, as verse 10 says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements melt with fervent heat. In response to this coming day of Christ, verse 11 asks a question. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, all this world will be dissolved, that the planets and the universe will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness. So the first response to the coming day of the Lord is godliness. We need to prepare by being godly. The second is watchfulness in verse 12, looking for and hastening the coming day of God. We're watching, we're waiting, we're looking for him because we love him and we want to see him come, looking for and hastening the coming day of God. And the third response to the coming day of the Lord is hopefulness in verse 13. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Now that new heaven and that new earth, when there is no more pain, nor sorrow, nor crying, nor death, the former things are passed away, gives us wonderful and great hope. And now we move into new territory with verse 14. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found in, by him in peace, without spot and blameless. We have much to look forward to. If this earth is beautiful, and it is, we only need to go to a place like Echo Point and see how wonderful, and yet this world is under the ravages of sin, it's under the curse of God. If this world is beautiful, despite sin and its consequences, how much better is that new earth, that new heavens and that new earth going to be? If you go back to verse 13, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, that is the new heaven and the new earth, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Just because we have hope for such a great future, the new heavens and the new earth, verse 14 says, be diligent to be found by him in peace. Those without Christ should be in distress. Verse 10 warns all the earth, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, and then it tells some of those dreadful things that will happen. But the world, as we out here, as it is out here, if we knock doors, if you go to your workplace, you'll note that the people of the world are not in distress about the coming day of the Lord. They mock about the return of the Lord. They carry on with life as usual. And this the Lord Jesus Christ predicted. We read in Matthew 24 and verse 37, but as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them away, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Those who are saved, let's deal with the unsaved first. Those who are not saved should be in distress. They should be, because the day is going to be dreadful for them. But they are not. Those of us who are saved should be in total peace because of the great hope that we have in our present lives and in the future. Katy Perry now has all that the world could possibly offer, but she does not have peace with God, and she does not have the peace of God. Peter is speaking to Christians because he calls them beloved. Verse 14, therefore, beloved. So he's not talking about peace with God. These are people who are already saved. That peace with God comes at salvation. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we're no longer God's enemy. We now have peace with God. But Peter is not talking about that kind of peace. We have that peace already. What Peter is primarily speaking about is the peace of God. And Philippians talks about that peace. Philippians 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understandings, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. The peace of God is a heart rest in him. It is a heart rest even in the worst circumstances of life. And that peace can certainly come through believing prayer, as indicated by Philippians 4 and verses 6 to 7. We can experience that peace. But that peace can also come from looking ahead and knowing that we have a great future as Christians. That hopefulness of a new heavens and new earth can bring us peace in the worst circumstances of life. And therefore, verse 14 says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace. So why does Peter tell the beloved, us Christians, to be diligent in finding this peace from God? I don't think it's too hard to understand. Our future, it has been described for us in the Bible, but it is not yet seen. The circumstances of life are very much in our face. They're pressing and they're difficult. And so these circumstances of life tend to obscure what's ahead for us. It takes diligence to see beyond the obvious, what's right there in our face, to see beyond that and see the eternal, what is prophesied for us. It takes diligence to see that God is for us. It takes diligence when everything seems to be going wrong to know that he loves us, to know that he is working out things for good in our lives, that he is making wise choices for us. Yes, that he has all power to be working in our circumstances and to know that he is bringing all things to their appointed end. To know that Jesus is in control, doing good and making wise choices can bring peace to our hearts. So we look beyond those circumstances to what he has planned for us ahead. When we take diligence to look on the unseen future, our hearts will be at rest. That's God's design for us. Prophecy is meant to warn the ungodly. Get ready, the day of the Lord is coming. You must be prepared. And it's meant to comfort the godly, to bring our troubled hearts to a place of rest. Yes, Jesus is there, gone to prepare a place for us, and he's coming back for us. Before we leave verse 14, please note that Peter emphasizes again that one response to the coming day of the Lord is righteousness. He talked about righteousness there in verse 11. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and in godliness? But now he repeats the necessity for righteousness. Verse 14, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Without spot and blameless. That is exactly like Christ. As Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 19, he is a lamb without spot and without blemish. We need to be becoming like him. So that I want you to see, as we've gone through this, that peace and righteousness go together. The person who has righteousness is also going to have peace. And I want you to see also that unrighteousness and a troubled heart also tend to go together, as Katy Perry is an example. Someone might come on, yes, I see what you're saying about our bright future. It does bring perspective to our lives here and now. But it is so hard. I would love the Lord to come back today. Okay, that's good. We need to long for him. But Peter says in response to that in verse 15, and consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Consider that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Every day our trials go on means salvation to somebody. God is working with grace in somebody's life. God is good. He wants people to be saved. Verse 15, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which some things are hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, as they do the rest of the scriptures. And Peter is quoting from Paul. He's saying, Paul is saying exactly the same things that I'm saying here, just as we would quote from Paul, because Peter recognizes that what Paul wrote in those epistles was scriptures, just as we recognize them as being scriptures. And so hang in there, brother and sister. Be diligent to find peace. Be diligent to find peace. Look beyond those circumstances, for we have all hope in the Savior. If you're wondering or distracted, you're certainly not going to find that peace of God. Martin was sitting in a fast food restaurant having a quick breakfast, and a friend walked in, a friend that he'd prayed for many times, and the friend said that his life had dramatically changed. He said for the first time in his life, he was ready to meet the Lord. It finally had hit him that the Lord could come today. He could come today. Has that broken through our experience? It's possible for the Lord to come today, and we need to be ready. Well, anyway, this bloke had finally got through to him that the Lord could come today, and he's decided, well, I need to totally give everything to the Lord. And he said as he did that, he had an amazing peace. And then his next response was he started to have a burden for those around him, that they might also know the Lord and have that peace. Since Martin had prayed for his friend many times that he would live a life consistent with his testimony to be a Christian, it was a wonderful thing to hear. They rejoiced together that he had got ready for that return of Christ. But before he had come to that day, he had not known God's peace. He said, when I turned my life over to the Lord, then I found that peace. He was wandering and he was distracted. Jerry Bridges writes, my comments addressed primarily to the committed Christian. I'm aware that a vast majority of professing Christians display little or no commitment to spiritual growth or discipleship. And for them, the Christian life is no more than the mere formality of attending church and avoiding scandalous behavior. Is he speaking about you? That Christianity to you is no more than occasionally attending church and avoiding scandalous behavior? Are you wandering and distracted? Is your heart truly focused on the Lord Jesus? Would you agree with those comments from Jerry Bridges? Do you recognize that Christ could come today? Has that really got through your exterior? Are you ready for the day? Do you have peace with God in that you have come to Christ, you have trusted him as your Savior from sin? And do you have the peace of God, knowing that your future is bright in him? The alternative road in turning away from the Lord, in turning away from what he says about the future, leads to the hopelessness of Katy Perry. We do understand that this lady apparently has had a divorce, and we understand that a divorce can be worse than a death. We understand the pain in that, but she has no purpose and she's lost hope. The fifth response to the coming day of the Lord is steadfastness. We've looked at righteousness. We've looked at watchfulness. We've looked at hopefulness. And we've looked at peacefulness. Now we look at steadfastness. Verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware, beware, lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. Steadfastness is another way of saying be righteous always. Love the Lord Jesus Christ always. Walk with him always. Keep going steadfast. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. James uses that same word for steadfastness in James chapter 5 and verse 8. He says, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Establish, be steadfast in your heart. Be firm, be set in concrete in your heart, for the day of the Lord is at hand. Peter recognizes that to this point, the beloved have been steadfast. But it is possible, isn't it, brother and sister, to fall from our steadfastness, as he says there in verse 17. You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. How do we fall from steadfastness? What does it say? Being led away by the error of the wicked. That is being pulled along by the current of the world, listening to false teachers who tell us wrong teachings about the scripture. Just doing what everyone else is doing. Just watching what everyone else is watching. Just listening to what everyone else is listening to. Perhaps like Katy Perry. She has more Twitter followers than anyone else has ever had That's one of the Guinness Book of Records, I guess. She is of the world, and the world follows her. More Twitter followers than anyone. Paul also warns in Romans chapter 12 and verse 12, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. John also says, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Maybe you're a Christian and life is going along well. That's good. Don't fall from your steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked in either lifestyle or in wrong teaching. Make sure that you stay steady and steadfast, your heart set in concrete. I'm following the Lord Jesus. The sign said, danger, no swimming. But he went swimming anyway, was swept over a 200 meter waterfall and died. The sign said, beware of rock falls. But the camper set up his tent under the cliff face. Not a bright thing to do, I wouldn't think. The sign said, low bridge. But the truck driver got stuck under the bridge anyway. The sign said, absolutely no fires in front of a forest that was totally burnt out. After the motor vehicle accident, the driver realized that he should have stopped at the stop sign. Why do we think signs don't apply to us? Why do we think they're there for everyone else? Why do we think that we can get away with it? Spiritually, the same is true. When the scripture says, beware, verse 17, beware lest you fall from your steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked. We need to listen and beware. Why is it that we're not careful? Why is it that we think we can dabble with the ways of the world and not be affected? Don't we need to commit ourselves to steadfastness today? Let our determination to be righteous set in concrete. Let it be set in concrete, never to waver. Verse 17, you therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away by the error of the wicked. The sixth and final response that Peter mentions to the coming day of the Lord is graciousness. Graciousness. Don't be led away, beloved, verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Don't fall away, but keep growing. Verse 18, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Know the Lord is coming. Know it could be today. And that ought to motivate us to grow, to be like him. And that certainly includes graciousness. So where Peter ends this letter, exactly where he began. Just flip back to chapter 1 and verse 1 so we can see the continuity right throughout this letter. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied to you. How? In the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Graciousness comes through a personal relationship with Christ. Knowledge there in verse 2 is not just knowing about the Lord Jesus, it's having that personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. So verse 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge and the relationship of God and Jesus Christ his Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge or the relationship of him who has called us by glory and by virtue. Graciousness, which is part of life and godliness, comes through our relationship with the Lord Jesus. It comes through his empowering. It comes through his promises. As his divine power has given to us all things, verse 3 says, that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these, through the promises, you may be partakers of the divine nature, including grace, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Peter warns the beloved to be mature He wants them to be mature for two reasons. Number one, to be able to discern error. The letter is written as a warning against error, and also to be ready for the return of the Lord. And that's why Peter ends the way he began in chapter 3 and verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grace and knowledge, grace and truth, they're similar concepts. And Jesus was full of grace and truth. John chapter 1 and verse 14 says, And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was full of grace, and we need the graciousness of Christ so that we're ready to meet the Lord Jesus when He comes. Why does Peter tell us to grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus? So that we will be ready for Him. And what is this graciousness like? Graciousness is something delightful and attractive in a person. It is kindness and goodness and generosity of heart. Our speech should be gracious, according to Colossians 4 and verse 6. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer each one. Our giving should be gracious, according to 1 Corinthians 16:3. Whomever you approve by your letters, I send to bear your gift. If you circle that word gift, it's charis. It's the same word in Greek, to send your grace to Jerusalem. Our giving should be gracious. Our speech should be gracious. And our singing should be gracious. Colossians 3 and verse 16 says, Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. A gracious man or woman has a thankful, grateful, generous heart. We serve by grace, and we serve with grace. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:9, For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. Paul was enabled to be an apostle by grace. And then he goes on to say, And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. So Paul allowed God's grace to pour through him, like water pours through a channel. So that the grace we have been shown by God is able to be shown to others round about us. Grace therefore reaches out to sinners and untouchables, because that's what we were before we came to Christ. Grace returns good for evil. It does not answer in kind. Grace blesses others. It doesn't seek revenge or curse. Grace has its heart humility, amazed that God should give His blessing to me, a sinner, and wants to show that same grace to others round about me. Spurgeon said, He who does not long to know more of Christ's grace knows nothing of Christ yet. Whoever has sipped this grace thirsts for more, for although Christ satisfies, yet it's such a satisfaction that the thirst is not quenched but whetted. Grace cries more and more. We want more of His grace for our lives, and we want to show more of His grace to others. You've probably heard of the young Christian who prayed, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. We know that patience doesn't come instantaneously like that. Maybe we haven't realized that grace doesn't come instantaneously either. Or another favorite story is the Bible college student who went to the principal and asked that if his course could be speeded up. And the principal said, yes, of course it can be speeded up, but it depends what kind of person you want to be. When the Lord grows an oak, He takes 100 years, but when He grows a squash, He takes 6 months. Joni writes, I'm privileged to know several Christians who are recovering from addictions. One such person feels extremely frustrated over the amount of time it's taking him to recover and rebuild his life after years of destructive choices. He says, I've already wasted years of my life and I don't want to waste any more. But if we're growing, if we're continuing to grow, it's not a waste of time. God does not grant instant graciousness. We live in an instant world, don't we? Instant coffee. But you know, even instant coffee requires hot water to be poured over it. And to have grace, we need hot water to be poured into our lives too. God does take time. Just make sure that you continue to grow. One birthday card said, "You're only young once, but you can be immature forever." It's amazing to me that some people actually choose to be immature, to be irresponsible, to be pleasure-seeking, to be lovers of themselves. They don't care about others. They don't lift a finger to help. No grace there. No readiness for the return of Christ there. Yes, keep growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. But don't get discouraged, brothers and sisters. Sometimes sanctification is a real battle, and it's one step forward and a couple back, and then we keep fighting forward. Keep going on. Keep growing for the Lord Jesus. Be steadfast in godliness. Keep growing. Be full of hope, and with a heart that is at peace, you have a perfect future in the Lord Jesus. Yes, He is coming, and the time will not be long. Yes, He is coming, and for some, it's not going to be pretty. Are you ready, brother? Are you ready, sister? Prepare for the day. It's coming. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your word, and we pray that You would work in hearts and lives. Perhaps children need to get their lives right. They need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ today. Older people too. The rest of us need to be ready for Your coming. Oh, I pray that You would encourage anybody who's discouraged today. Encourage them with Your return. Encourage them with the new heavens and new earth. Encourage them that You love them and You're continuing to work in their lives. I pray that You would lift up every saint that feels downtrodden today. We have a bright future. Oh Lord Jesus, we praise You. But for some of us who are distracted, we need to get our lives right. Oh Lord, I pray that there would be a righteousness. I pray, Lord, that there would be a flood of righteousness. I pray that Your people would shine their lights before men. Oh, I pray, Lord, that we would yet reach this community. Oh Lord, be working through us. Help us to be ready. The Lord Jesus is coming. We praise You in Your name. Amen.